talking about something that affects so many people, but that nobody wants to talk about: pornography. Speaking to individuals trying to stop looking at porn and to spouses looking for support.
This is Danny and Lindsay Pullman, a married couple who have been through this together. We're sharing a mix of our personal experiences, our experience as certified life coaches, and other empowering ideas.
We hope this can help you on your journey.
Enjoy!
Hey everybody, what's up?
Hey guys!
We are talking about fear of failure today. And Lindsay, why are we talking about this?
We are talking about fear of failure because if you want a change in your life, you need to be willing to fail.
Boom.
And we're done. Just
kidding. End of podcast. See you next week.
All right. So, you know, when we want change in our lives and we don't go for it, usually there's some fear there. Fear of failure, fear that you won't do something perfectly. And, you know, ultimately, like, we get to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to go for what we really want, or are we going to keep coasting or something else, right? There's so many different ways we could go in our lives, but I think fear of failure can make coasting seem very appealing. Don't you think, Danny?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, sometimes I've been at a place where I'm contemplating a leap of some sort in my life towards some goal, and then it's like, oh, that's uncomfortable. Maybe I'm good where I'm at.
Yeah, things are fine. Things are fine. Don't change anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it you know, it's pretty appealing, like you said. Let's get away from that discomfort. And, yeah. You know, remember that there's part of your brain that is designed to avoid the discomfort. It's that lower part of your brain, and it says pain is dangerous. You could die if it's pain, even if it's emotional pain. So don't go for that goal of yours, whatever it is.
Yeah,
it could kill you. That's what that lower brain tells you.
Yeah. So, you know, I it's really natural for me to go to that phase of my life where Danny told me he was looking at pornography behind my back. And before he told me, this analogy came from a girl named Jill. I think her name's Jill Thomas. And I love it so much. But basically, the analogy I'm going to share with you is I was living this blue life before I had the new information about my husband looking at porn. Life was blue, and there were lots of different shades of blue, and it was amazing. Like, you know, we'd both finished our graduate work, we had three kids, we bought the house in the neighborhood, and it was just this beautiful shade of, like, this beautiful life of blue. And then when I got new information from my husband, learned about the pornography, I kind of felt like I'd gotten thrust into this yellow life, and I didn't like yellow. I just didn't like yellow. Blue was amazing. Blue was fine. Blue was perfect. Why yellow? I don't want to be here, right? And so there was so much resistance to my current reality that all I wanted to do was just go back to the old normal. And then, you know, through this analogy, like through the learning and the coaching and the things that I learned, the idea with this analogy is eventually you can see green. And green is pretty amazing too. Right? Green is probably becoming one of my favorite colors because I love nature. I love leaves. I love the different shades of leaves. And so, because
if you mix blue and yellow, it makes green. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And you start to see green, which is pretty amazing. And so I like using that analogy because I think when we're tempted to coast, things might be as perfect as we know, but they can also be so much more.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I like that example. So when fear of failure comes up, basically we get to decide, are we going to really go for what we want, or are we going to keep coasting? There's not a right or wrong here. But
definitely
we're just,
not a right or wrong.
We're just kind of talking about some of the ins and outs, and what's often a good thing to consider is that the discomfort that we are worried about, that we fear from in our fear of failure, is often a better flavor and something that you might like better than the discomfort of not going for what you want. Like it can actually be more uncomfortable in the long run to not go for what you really want. Mm-hmm. That's something worth thinking about.
Yeah. And I think interestingly, you know, I kind of felt like I was thrust into yellow. Right. And, you know, that's actually not true. I went into yellow with the way I was thinking about this new information in my life. And so, you know, for you specifically, if there's like some new shade of green you want to see or something you want to shoot for, aim for, like you don't have to wait to receive new information or to be or have some life circumstance change to go into yellow so that you can see that green. Like you can like intentionally choose that discomfort to get the end results of whatever it is that you want.
Okay, so when does it come up? Yeah, if you're thrust into change, like you said, or if you're attempting to make a change more intentionally, trying to grow in some way, or when you set a new goal, like that's something I notice almost every time I set a new goal that is going to stretch me. It's like, whoa, fear of failure. There you are again.
Yeah. So
and I got to work through it again in a new way to get to the next level. Yeah. But what is it that we're so scared of? Let's talk about that.
Okay. I love that. And you, I mean, you alluded to this a little bit earlier, but ultimately, and I was kind of jokingly challenging Danny on this before we started recording, he's like, ultimately, we're just avoiding an emotion,
right? Yeah, but the worst thing that can happen to you is a feeling.
It's an emotion.
Like, in your worst case scenario, like, that's the actual thing. But, yeah, it's something I, you know, that is awesome as a philosophy and really powerful to start thinking that way. It will really empower you. But I haven't totally bought into it in every part of my life, obviously.
Well, no, like, let's go there just for, like really quickly down that rabbit hole, right? So, like, let's say a husband doesn't want to tell his wife about his pornography habit. Why? What's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought that I was going to lose my family.
And then,
I thought that you'd want to leave me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't get to be around my kids as much. And I wouldn't get to be married to you still. And I'd be alone.
Okay.
Trying to figure out life in this new way with this thing I was already struggling with. And, yeah.
Yeah. So what's the problem there? Like, what is it that you're really avoiding, though? Is it avoiding losing your family? Or is it avoiding something else? Like, what emotion are you... When you were so scared to tell me years ago, like, what is it that you were so afraid to feel that you might have actually been feeling in the present because you were so afraid of what it could be?
Yeah, and with this particular example, I have sorted through it all at this point. And the feelings that I was so worried about was shame, loneliness, embarrassment. Basically that.
Well, and interestingly, like, I mean, trust me, I have my own scenarios where this has played out, but like those things that we're so afraid of feeling, so afraid, and we just will do anything we can to avoid, like we'll avoid something, like in this case, telling wife about pornography because of, you know, how what could happen. It's those feelings that we're really avoiding. But interestingly, that's what we're feeling in the present moment. Even though we're so afraid of, like, doing that.
Right. You can actually create,
you create
those
it.
Feelings up front.
Yeah.
Because feelings come from thoughts.
Yeah.
And you can think those thoughts however you want, whenever you want.
Yeah. Like, I did that as a college student. Like, I was so afraid of failing that I, you know, wasn't always, like, I became so perfectionistic in my studies, but I was so afraid of failing that, like, I actually, when I was in that perfectionistic, fear-based mindset, my grades weren't as good. And then I figured it out.
Yeah.
And then once I kind of figured it out, like, it's amazing how much more efficient and effective and, like, where my focus, once my focus shifted, like, I would get the different grades.
Okay. So with that, what I would, first of all, reinforce is if you do have this fear of failure, nothing's gone wrong.
No.
And you're not going to die. You can let your brain know, like, even though you think I'm going to die, brain, I'm not. I'm going to be okay. This is not life-threatening. And recognize that your brain is designed to look for things that can go wrong, right? So there's nothing wrong with you for having these. And the brain's also designed to impress the social group, right? Because if you get isolated from the group, then you could die. That's how it used to be in the old days. You really needed the group to survive.
It literally was a matter of life and death. And even though society has evolved where that isn't physically the case, our brains haven't evolved to, like, they don't, our brains don't understand that yet,
that
we won't actually die. So
still built in there, right?
So if it has felt like that intense for you, yeah, it's normal.
So if that's, like, part of your fear of failure, like, oh, I'll look stupid in front of the people I want to impress most, then that's okay. Like, your brain is supposed to do that. So, but then you can also redirect it. But then with the school example that you shared, that just reminds me of how in school, like, we are actually taught to avoid failure. Mm-hmm. At least it can be taken that way. I don't mm-hmm. think anyone's trying to teach us that on purpose, but they are. No, they're not.
Except the teachers don't even want, that's the thing too, the teachers actually don't want you to fail because they don't want you in their class next year.
Yeah, because F's in school, F's hold you back, right? And F stands for fail. And yeah, especially if you're the struggling student, the teacher might be that more excited to get rid of you.
Yeah, it's like, just give him a D, get him out of here, or her.
But in school, you literally, you can't progress to the next level, the next grade, if you fail, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of this, that's something that I kind of picked up on in my brain along the way, and I kind of made it mean that. But then in real life, with when you're not in school, which is more real, in real life, to succeed, you need to fail, right? Like, failing is crucial. Like, you can't succeed without it, actually, right, in the ways that matter most to you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Right? So I kind of like that example. Okay, so... And, yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I mean, if you look at, like, Microsoft, like, their motto was to fail fast, because as soon as you, like, when you accelerate failures, like, that's where you learn, because you're having experiences where you can try something, act on that, like, think of something, act on something, evaluate, move on. You don't have to interpret it as this, like, horrible thing.
That's a nice example, Linz, but where did that get them?
Like... Well, it got all of us a computer in our house, multiple computers and kids. And, like, look at, well, I'm reading that A Moment of Love by Melinda Gates right now, so I'm like, and look at all the philanthropic work they're doing. So, dang.
Yeah. So amazing. Failing fast helped feed children in Africa and cure diseases.
And got us all computers and laptops in our houses.
That is pretty cool. Okay. So with fear of failure, why do we feel that way? Why do we feel afraid of failure?
Well, I think there's, like, some status there, like you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and but then, really...
Where do our feelings come from?
The fear, like, it comes from our thoughts.
Yeah.
It just comes from what we're thinking.
Comes from our thoughts. Okay, so I'm going to use porn as an example, all right? So let's say
Why would you use porn as an example?
Because that's who I work with, baby. And I know how to do it. I've worked through it myself, and I'm helping guys do it, and we're all finding more success than ever. It's awesome. That's why.
It is awesome. His clients are killing it.
Okay, so let's say that you go and you look at porn, and then after, you probably have this, if you're like how I was and how a lot of my clients are, you have this dance that you do with yourself, right? Where you're like, it's almost like a roller coaster ride. You looked at porn and then you start punishing yourself. You go right into that. You spend time wishing you never did it, thinking it shouldn't have happened. And we become so focused on this with our thoughts and all that pain, all the shame, the pain, whatever it is you're feeling, it really comes from optional thoughts that you're thinking, okay? And this is really good news because you have the power to change it. But when you're so focused on wishing it didn't happen, which is a thought, or thinking that something's wrong with you, which is a thought, then it creates these feelings for you that then drive the actions of not even being able to learn from what happened, right? Like, you don't even get a chance to examine reality, because you're wishing for a fantasy, which is, your fantasy is that you didn't look at porn, mm-hmm. but the reality is you did. But if you keep spending time in the fantasy world, you can't learn how to change your reality, okay?
I love that. How does this, like, let's say that someone doesn't look at porn, but they're listening to the podcast, how can they, what other example can you use that can help them just understand the peers or the people that they know that are looking at pornography, so they can understand that a little bit better?
You're gonna put me on the spot with an example I didn't plan for. I don't know. Roll. Can I finish my example first?
Oh, I thought you were done. Sorry. Go for it, baby.
Okay. Well, was I done? Okay, but then you're throwing me off here. Okay, I'm just gonna go for it. I'm willing to fail. What's an example? Okay. What's another example more relatable than porn? I don't know. Whatever. I mean, I work with people who want to change habits that they have, right?
Right. So what are habits that a lot of humans have? It might be checking their phone. It might be not, you know, maybe eating food that they necessarily, you know, they want in the moment, but in the long term they don't ultimately want.
I've got a good one. Got a good one. Okay. Look at that. My brain came up with an answer. Thanks for the question. This is really applicable right now. A lot of us are home with our kids, okay? And something that sometimes I struggle with is, you know, I love my kids. I don't struggle with that. But, well, sometimes I do, I guess. Sometimes, as much as I love them and like being around them, there are also times I don't want to be around them. And I would prefer to be alone, able to focus on work or a project I'm working on or something creative or things like that. And so I get in this place where instead of even allowing myself to look at what's going on, I just start like beating myself up. Like, no, like if you love your kids, you shouldn't tell them to leave the room or to not bother you for an hour or, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so it becomes another one of those dances where I'm just kind of like not liking the feelings and not even willing to look into it and adjust what's going on because I'm maybe just wishing that I should do it differently.
I think a lot of moms can relate to that for sure.
But a more helpful way, did you want to finish?
Sorry. I was just going to say I've reminded my kids more often during quarantine. Like, hey, just remember everything, you know, if I appear to be mad, it's because of me.
Not you.
And I'm reminding them because I've noticed myself kind of doing that a little bit too here and there, you know, trying to get stuff done and they're interrupting you. We have a pretty good schedule set up between the two of us. We tag team a lot, but I'm not going to say it's been like, you know, without me getting annoyed or upset. So anyway, what were you going to say?
Oh, when I've handled it in a more useful way in the past, rather than just wish I was different, I look at it more objectively and I say, okay, what's going on? And I let myself know, like, you know what, maybe it's okay that I don't want to play dolls with my daughter right now. Or maybe it's okay that I don't want to listen to everything my son has to say about his Legos right now.
Or Minecraft.
They like talking about Minecraft.
Holy cow.
That's like their favorite thing right now. Anyway, when I give myself space to let it be okay to not want that, and I don't make it mean that I'm a bad dad or that I don't love them or whatever, then I can like start looking at it and tweaking how I approach it, you know?
Yeah. Like, what if you're not failing as a dad? You're a human.
Yeah. Right. So this is why the way that we fail is so important, because if you do the one version of failing where you're not able to learn from your failure and you just make it really painful, then the same thing's going to happen again and again because you're not able to learn from it.
Right.
And something that's helpful for me to appreciate is that I think part of why I would make it so painful when I would look at porn in the past is because I really didn't want to do it. And I thought, if I beat myself up enough and make this painful enough, then I'm not going to do it next time. I think I had that idea in my head. But ultimately, for me and for everyone I coach, that type of pattern just makes it worse in terms of trying to learn how to not look at porn.
Yeah.
It actually makes you more likely to look at porn.
Yeah, just like with me being so worried about, you know, failing as a student at BYU, right? When I was so consumed with that fear, I actually wasn't. I would study in a way that, I mean, I didn't fail my classes, but study in a way where I wasn't getting the grades I wanted. I was getting not the opposite, but definitely not the grades I wanted. So.
All right. So failing is a skill. And the way that we fail becomes really important when it comes to looking at what we want to accomplish in our lives, right? If we don't learn how to do it well and get good at failing, then we won't reach our goals the way that we want to. The goals that really, really matter to you, right?
Yeah. So what is that, you know, like the way we fail? Like, how do we fail well?
Well, so here's an example. What if I were, like, going to go learn how to shoot a basketball, right? And I said, okay, I'm willing to do this, but only if I don't have to miss any shots.
Yeah.
Right? Like it sounds kind of ridiculous to say it in this way, mm-hmm. but how do we actually do this with other goals in our lives, right? Oh, like, I'm willing to do it as long as I don't have to miss, yeah. right? Or I'll miss a couple of times, but if it's more than that, then I'm out, right? Or if I airball it, then no way. Like, that's it. That's the last straw. Yeah. I'm done with basketball, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But we do this, and it sounds kind of funny with this example, but we do it in other ways with other goals, right?
We totally do. And I think that's one thing that I tell myself when I am setting bigger goals that feel hard. I'm just still like, I love that analogy because I think of like how many times you'd have to serve a tennis ball to consistently just know you can always get it in without thinking mm-hmm. and how natural it can be to just get it in.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to think about it at some point. It's like this, we're like failing. It's what if it was just this mental muscle to develop? Yeah. But anyway, when I am setting a big goal and it feels hard and scary, sometimes just telling myself like, hey, like I am in this for the long run. Like there doesn't have to be this timeline where if I don't get it by then, it's over, it's done. And so that's not always going to be the case. I still like to set specific goals and things like that. But I also know like I'm in this.
Yes.
And that takes the hurry and the urgency out of me wanting to learn a new skill or reach a goal.
Well, part of the reasons I like this basketball example is because I love basketball. And so when I start asking things like, can failing be fun? Can failing actually be an exciting thing? Can it be like points? Or can it be something that we value? Mm-hmm. Right? Using the basketball example makes me realize like, oh yeah, it can. Like, think of all the times. Like, I'm just out there ready to shoot. Just shooting hoops. I don't care how many times I miss. I just go out and shoot. And mm-hmm. I love it. Like, I've loved it throughout my whole life. And what if I could apply that same mentality to other things that I approach, right?
Okay, question. I'm going to throw you off again.
Okay.
What are you thinking when you're shooting that's making it such an awesome experience? Like, what thoughts come, what is it that makes it so awesome?
It's like, I just am in this and love doing this, whether I miss or not. Something like that. Like,
yeah. So when you are thinking about something else you want to do that's different, you know, what can you think that's similar to something like that that would serve you in a way so that you're in that space to feel safe, secure with yourself, and use your brain to be creative? Because you can channel all that fear energy and those vibrations into something like effective and fun and creative and exciting, right?
Yeah. Another one might be like I know that to improve my shot I need to be willing to miss, you know?
Yeah. Something but like you that. Don't say like, if I miss more than 30 times today, I'm going inside.
No, it's like, I'm just showing up. I just show up to shoot, and it's I enjoy it. And yeah, so, okay, so yeah, what if the most useful information to get you to your goal is actually embedded in your failure, okay? That's part of why we need to be willing to fail as many times as it takes to achieve our goals, right? The way that we feel when we fail is actually dictated by how we think. So we get to ask ourselves, decide up front, how do you want to think when you fail? Mm-hmm. How do you want to treat yourself? Mm-hmm. Do you want to beat yourself up or do you want to honor yourself? You can actually commit to honoring yourself through your failure.
And also too, like when you are deciding what you're going to believe, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to, if you, before you like take on whatever task it is, you don't have to be like, I'm going to love myself no matter what. If you don't know that you're going to be able to do that for yourself after that, then choose a thought that works for you. It could be, I'm really scared, but I've committed to doing this for myself. And I'm also, you know, interested in seeing, in evaluating my results so that I can learn from this, right? So if you don't believe you can love yourself through it 100%, then what can you believe so that those are the thoughts going through your brain as you're acting on that thought so that you can actually learn from it?
I like it. Okay, so another thing to start looking at is when you're afraid to go for something and you're deciding whether to let that fear dictate what happens or go toward it anyway. A lot of times, the most realistic worst case scenario that can come out of it is really similar to what your current circumstances are. Okay, so an example of this is, like, let's say that a client or a person is considering trying a coaching program, right? And they're thinking, oh, what if I pay that money, spend all the time and effort, and I fail? I'll look stupid, right? We have all these ideas that freak us out. But then what's the real worst case scenario, right? Do you honestly think that you'd allow yourself to go through all the time and spend all that energy and that you would come out of it worse than before? Like, do you think it's possible to be worse? Do you think it's even possible to, like, stay right where you're at when you go and go for something like that? That's what I would ask you. The most realistic thing, even if that did happen, is maybe you just end up right where you're at, right? But most likely you'd end up a little bit ahead. So
no, because if you're changing your, even like going through an experience, like literally experiencing something new changes you, even if you decide you don't want to experience that thing again. Like it there's a shift, and
yeah, it's almost impossible to stay right where you're at when you try for something like that.
Yeah, huh? And that's why when you go through something really hard and you're like, I could never do that again. You're never going to do it again because you've learned so much through that, and your brain has, like, there's so much that's happened there that you won't go through it again.
Yeah. So if you do have something you're thinking about doing that you're scared of, then what I'd say is write down, like, the most realistic worst case scenario that can come out of it, and then just compare it to your current circumstances and look how similar they are. There's a really good chance that it's almost identical, which means that you're actually already living your worst case scenario now, and that's just kind of an interesting thing to think about. And you're probably thinking about this goal, you're probably creating all those feelings that you're so scared about right now, like mm-hmm. Lindsay said earlier, that it's like you're feeling all those feelings up front anyway, and then are you going to decide just to fail up front so that you don't even give yourself the chance to see if it works or gets you somewhere else?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think, and I do, you know, my life coach says this, but she says fear of failure is costing people their dreams. Well, I put this in more my terms with, you know, my audience here, but like,
how would you say?
Fear of failure is costing you your dream marriage, your dream life, and any successes that you want, right? And it doesn't mean that your life isn't great right now. Obviously, something's going well because you are where you are and it's already perfect, but it's okay to be where you're at. And love your life and open yourself up to the possibility of more.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that. Okay, so basically, to sum it up, and then Lindsay's going to ask some awesome questions here at the end. To sum it up, learning to fail well, building that skill helps you, number one, be more successful with your goals. Number two, it just feels better. And number three, it allows for change. That's a pretty strong case for failing well.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And so if there are things you want to do or things you want to change about your life and you haven't taken action on them, just know that's totally normal. And your brain is actually working perfectly because it's designed, your lower brain is designed to just keep you safe. And for a lot of people, that's in your houses, watching Netflix, eating ice cream sundaes, and looking at social media all at once.
I just did that the last few nights.
Oh, and obviously, I don't think any of those things are bad, okay? I do all the things. But I know that there are times where I do it when I'm avoiding my life or avoiding thinking about my future. And then there are times where I'm like, oh, this is going to be the perfect end to my day, right?
Right.
But if you are wondering, like, if you know you're not taking action towards something that you really do want, you know, what could you accomplish if you were willing to feel more discomfort? Okay. If you weren't afraid to fail, what else would you do? Okay. And if you know what thought that is that's holding you back, what would you be doing if you were willing to quit thinking that thought? And the last question is, how much living are you missing out on by being afraid?
Wow. Awesome.
Powerful questions.
All right, guys. So we invite you to go out and seek some failures. Don't avoid them, but seek them and try it out. See how it works out for you.
Yeah. What would it be like to feel the fear and discomfort and do it anyway?
Yeah.
All right. Take care, you guys. All right. Oh, by the way, we love you guys. We are at about 3,000 downloads, which is pretty freaking exciting. So thanks for your support. Thanks for listening. And we love reviews. So if you want to leave us a review, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, please do. Thanks for listening. And so glad you joined us. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
Thanks for listening.
If you're ready to get unstuck, move forward, or just feel better about your life and marriage, please reach out to us, whether it's for both of you or just yourself. You'd be surprised how much progress can be made in your marriage even if one of you works on the relationship. Don't wait for someone else to make things better for you.
For more information or to find out what it would be like to have a coach, visit our websites, lindsaypullman.com and dannypullman.com. Make sure you spell Pullman, P-O-E-L-M-A-N. For freebies or other guides mentioned, check out the show notes.
And to our current clients, we love you and thank you for letting us be a part of your hero's journey.